Thank you for joining us at Cultivating Hearts. We're back in the studio with the party still going on, if you tuned in last week. But we're still in the story about the blind Bartimaeus.
We are.
Mark 10, 46 through 52, if you'd like to join us.
Yeah, so pull out your Bibles wherever you're at.
Out.
There you go. We're so glad you're listening to Cultivating Hearts. We had a fun time. Last week we went through and we pretty much just looked at the different people that were involved in this passage of blind Bartimaeus. So I'm going to do my traditional, but they don't know that I'm going to do this. Janelle's going to put her finger on her nose, so it's not her. Who would like to tell this Bible story to the best of their ability for us so that it's not me telling it?
Jump in, peeps.
Who's going to do it? Don't be afraid. You've heard it enough times. Catherine. You could do it, Catherine.
Yeah, I'll try. Okay, so Jesus and the crowds were walking to Jerusalem, right from Jericho.
Mm-hmm.
Or,
yep, that's right.
And in the huge crowd, they're walking, Jesus walking with his disciples, but also a huge crowd. And there was a man named blind Bartimaeus who was blind. And he was sitting on the side of the road, and he was a beggar. And when he heard the crowd saying that Jesus of Nazareth was there, he started to shout really loudly, saying, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And then when the crowd heard that, they tried to silence him and say, "Shh, be quiet, be quiet." But he shouted all the more, saying, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And when Jesus heard this, he stopped and he said, "Call him." And so they went and they called him. They said, "Cheer up, take courage, Jesus is calling you, go." And so he sprang up to his feet and he dropped his cloak and he went to Jesus. And Jesus asked him, "What do you want from me?" And he said, "I want to see, Rabbi." And Jesus said, "Go, your faith has made you well." Well, he didn't just go, but he started to follow Jesus along the side of the road.
Nice
Very
job.
Good. Yay, Catherine.
Yeah, we love these peeps.
You know, and just listening to you tell, it just blesses me. It blesses me beyond belief.
I love the enthusiasm.
I know. It's exciting. I love how their brains take it so easily.
Yeah, no.
Where we have to work so hard to keep it.
No, just me. The age
it's
comes
not
in.
Just you.
Oh, all right. So last time with going through, anybody have anything they wanted to say that came to their mind afterwards that you just wanted to share before we go on? Anything? No? Okay. So we went through and looked at each different people group, and it helps us to kind of get the passage all together. And Corson's commentary says there's three kinds of people in life. It says that there are those that make things happen, those who watch things happen, and there are those who wonder what happened. All right, as we go through those, what would you say for each of the groups we just discussed, where they might fall? Those that make things, who make things happen, those who watch things happen, and those who wonder what happened. Mm. We see all three in this passage.
I would say Bartimaeus made things happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, both him and Jesus did something. And
right.
The crowd really just watched.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that the crowd just wondered what happened. They were amazed at, like, why?
What was that?
Yeah.
Why did he get healed?
Mm-hmm. And not us.
Yeah. Especially the non-believers. Mm-hmm. They really were wondering what was going on.
Or the religious leaders, yeah, the
true.
Priests.
True.
That were
the
lying
Pharisees,
there.
Pharisees, Sadducees,
mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. As I was thinking through that and looking at this passage and how we interact with people, I want that to be on our mindset. I want us to be asking the question of ourselves, you know, am I a person in this situation? Because it may change from situation to situation. Do I make things happen? Or am I just watching them happen? Mm-hmm. Or am I wondering as it occurs? And I think in a given day, I could fall into all three.
I think so too.
You know? Mm-hmm. But truth be known, I want to be a mover, a shaker, you know, and I want wonder and awe.
Yeah.
So I'm going to take it to another level. Habakkuk 1:5 says, you know, I just went blank on it. I will be shocked and amazed in my day, you know, and so to literally be willing to be shocked and amazed by what God can do. And thinking on, there's a group of people that's an unknown group that's not listed here. And so this is going to be purely assumption, okay? Mm-hmm. But it's the people that aren't a part of the crowd, but all of a sudden they have a blind man, his entire life blind. Mm-hmm. The commentators believe that it wasn't something from infection. They believe it was something that probably was he had for life. And all of a sudden, he's walking the streets and following Jesus. Mm-hmm. What the people's reactions could have been like at that time, seeing as that occurred, you know, and the impact. Something happens when people can observe when we've had that mm-hmm. connection with Jesus. And so mm-hmm. making sure that we're a connector with the Lord, not just somebody that's watching. All right, so Corson says that I want us to think on Bartimaeus' name. There's two different things that they say. One, son, Bar means son, Timaeus, so son of Timaeus really is what he was. Mm-hmm. And Naomi, this will be a good one for you and Stephanie as educators. My question for you guys, based on this passage, what are things that prove that this is historically valid? As you look at this passage, what are things that you can say if somebody were to ask you, how do you know that's true? It's just a story, not something that's true. There are actual clues in here that tell us it has historical validity. Can you guys think of some things? Because this is one of the things God's starting to challenge me now when I'm reading a passage of scripture to start looking at the historical validity that I can use from a passage.
You're talking about like it tells you where they are.
Yes.
Coming to Jericho, right. On the way to Jerusalem.
Very specific.
That's very specific.
And so scripture tells us. And so that is something that they can track. Somebody can go back. Did they actually do a journey from Jericho to Jerusalem for Passover? Mm-hmm. Historically, you can go back and prove that is something that actually occurred. What else?
Well, like you said, when they put in details like who his father was, and then just talking about like the whole crowd that was there and everyone that saw it. So like they're calling on the eyewitnesses, sort of, because they're saying they were there.
Good, good. Okay, that is so good. Now, when we're reading a passage of scripture, I'm going to challenge you guys out. That is something that you need to start asking yourself, how can I show as I read this passage that they have historical evidence that makes it valid? Because when we can point those out, that defeats any argument on the truth of the Word of God, okay, when it comes to that, if you can show the actual validity, okay? Right.
You talked about eyewitness, you know, with Mark. He's the eyewitness. He's writing this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's a very good one, too, as he's the one that's sharing it. Okay. I want us to think for a moment. I'm probably going to go all over the place on this. I wanted us to answer the question, in coming to Jesus, based on this passage, I want you to think on things that you could learn about your approach of Jesus. Okay? What can you learn from this about your approach to Jesus?
Well, I really like when Jesus says, "What do you want me to do for you?" And he flat out says, "I want to see." And I think that when we pray, God wants us to ask specifics, because then we can really see when he answers. And it's just faith, like, because it's scary to ask for that because it's such a big request and so specific, but that's what he asked for.
I love that. That's good. Stephanie?
Well, last time you were talking a little bit about how Jesus heard the one voice that called out to him. And I think so often, I think that so many people are crying out to Jesus about so many different things. Mm-hmm. Why would he hear me? Why would he hear my voice crying out? And so I think this is a beautiful picture of how Jesus picks out our voices and can hear from us individually.
Okay, so you're saying the shepherd that says, "My sheep will know my voice," also knows the voice of his sheep.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm. I love that. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah. Plus, the guy's a beggar, so he's lowly. He's probably had people put him down, and this is showing that God loves everybody and wants everybody to come to him.
I really like how Jesus listens to him, but not only listens to him, the confidence that he had in approaching God, despite what other people thought. You know, I mean, for him to be blind and to hear everybody, you know, just kind of bash on him, "Hey, you know, be quiet, you don't belong here, stop talking." He had confidence because he had faith. And when we come before Jesus with any request, we can do that confidently.
You know?
I think, like, when I talked about last time about the disciples being used by Christ and Jesus making an opportunity for them, even if he didn't need to use them, but still chose to. And they were willing to be a part of what he was doing, even if it was a small part. And it kind of was just them doing what they needed to do and then sitting back and watching Jesus work. And that's kind of what I want to do in my life, is to take the opportunities that God gives and be the part that he's asked me to be, no matter how small, mm-hmm. and then sit back and watch God work.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
He always Catherine. Has a teaching moment.
Mm-hmm. Kind of to go back on the to the like faith and confidence part, I love that his faith and confidence wasn't in himself at all, because mm-hmm. he was like the lowest of the low, mm-hmm. but it was in who Jesus was. He was the son of David. He was the one who could heal, and he went to him as that, like he was trusting in who Jesus was.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Good. Keisha?
I find that when the disciples say to Bartimaeus to take heart and cheer up, I find that really encouraging, because we can go with to God in confidence and be happy about it, because he hears us. Mm-hmm. He's not just brushing off our requests, but he hears us and cares for us.
I like that too. I do. We'll look at that more too. I want to tag on to Catherine's. Would somebody look up Psalm 4:1 and Psalm 6:2? Bartimaeus knowing that Jesus healed. And these two psalms really emphasize this well. Somebody got Psalm 4:1?
Yes, I do.
Go
Psalm
ahead, Tori.
4:1. Answer me when I call to you, O my righteous God. Give me relief from my distress. Be merciful to me and hear my prayer.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and Psalm 6:2.
I have it.
Go ahead.
Have mercy on me, Lord, for I am faint. Heal me, Lord, for my bones are in agony.
Okay. That's beautiful. I mean, and the Psalms are filled with that. And knowing that we can do that, that we can go to him, that we can seek him, and that he provides. And the commentators say, I think we referenced it last time somebody said it, but the commentators say it was a double thing. It wasn't just the physical, it was the spiritual, it was a whole. Because when Jesus, when he works with us, it's complete. He doesn't do something halfway. And that the confidence, as Tori said, that we can approach him, it's important. Some of the things that when I was thinking through this and just praying and what I can learn, one, I need to recognize that Jesus is Messiah. Mm. He is Savior. That is first and foremost. In order to approach him, we can have him as prophet or teacher, but if I am not recognizing him as Messiah, the Savior, I haven't yet made the approach that I need to make. And Mark is writing actually to Gentiles. This particular passage, the fact that he writes in Son of David is huge. Mm-hmm. It is a big deal, because he's actually doing a messianic, a Jewish term to show. And so that is also a historicity thing, the fact that they had that exact wording. And so emphasizing that. And then I had it in another spot. Here it is. Jesus, the New Testament, New American Commentary said that when he says Son of David, that's proof that he understands that he's a descendant of David, and that it's also an understanding that Jesus is the one who will inherit and fulfill all those promises. So all of a sudden, Mark, who's been writing to Gentiles all along, he's honing in and diving in. And I mean, it's hitting the mark with those 20,000 priests lining the street. So for them, it was like a pierce, because here all of a sudden, you know, this Messiah, the Word, has shown up. And so they know that that means it's a fulfillment of all those things. And so I think that we don't want to miss that, because that's pretty relevant. The other thing that was heavy on my heart is knowing that he heals with Catherine's, that, but it's the mental, the emotional, the social, the physical, and the spiritual. And so whenever I'm struggling in an area where I'm out of whack, which can happen. Yesterday my phone broke. I was kind of out of whack. Mm-hmm. And I hate that feeling of, like, I know I'm not right. Yep. Being able to pause myself and call on my Savior to help me in that, to deal with what's going on inside me. We also need to recognize that Jesus calls us. Mm-hmm. He called to Jesus, but Jesus called to him. Mm-hmm. It is a two-way conversation. It's not a one-way conversation. And so it goes both ways. So if I'm in a pattern of it's only me telling God, I'm out of sync, right? Mm-hmm. And so we need to wreck that. And then the importance of listening to the disciples. I consider Stephanie, Naomi, Janelle, Tori, Keisha, Catherine, and Sandy in this room disciples of Christ. So when I'm with y'all, even though I'm the dean of women over y'all, friend with Sandy, but at one point teacher, I have conversations with you guys. I hear from God just as much as you guys hear from God. Being able to have my ears open to listen to the disciples of Christ, because even though it may not be the teachings occurring, like as in like a formal teaching, the Spirit of God is always speaking truth through his children, and being willing to listen and obey when we hear one of his children speak. So that was something I learned from him. I also learned that when the disciples recommend, I need to make sure that I'm paying attention to the right disciple, because the crowds were trying to shush him. The disciples were pointing him to Jesus. And so if the disciple is of God and what they're speaking is of God, it will point us to Jesus. Mm-hmm. And we have to understand that, recognize it. Mm-hmm. Then it gets into the active, like, what do I do? I have to get up. I have to be active. Tori said that, I think, on the first radio show. It has action. Faith has action. Mm-hmm. I have to go to him. So it's one thing for me to get up, but I need to make the movement to, okay, I'm coming to you, Jesus. And then whatever it is that I have attached to me that might hinder me in my walk, I have to shed. And so I have to be willing to let go of whatever it is that gets in the way. Okay? Then I was being able to have the eyes to see. And I started thinking, it's so funny, yesterday, Keisha and I were dropping Grant off at school. And Keisha's so quiet. I just went in like my normal habit. I started praying to God in the car, and I'm not even thinking about the fact that I have Keisha in the car, and I start singing, which might be my norm. And I'm singing, and it's not so good. And then I turn to look because I'm looking to see if there are cars, and I'm like, oh, Keisha's in the car.
And she was smiling.
she very sweetly said her heart was beautiful. Not her song. But in that communication, asking him, because what I've been praying this week was that my eyes, that I, like, just let me see your face. Mm-hmm. Because if I can keep my focus on Jesus, what it is that might keep me distracted, the noise of the crowd, mm-hmm. or the circumstances, breaking a phone, whatever it could be. Landscaping, Sandy, this morning. Keeping my eyes on Jesus, that's what makes the difference. Yes. And so being willing to pray that. We're so glad that you're listening to Cultivating Hearts. We would love to hear from you. You can contact us at tararye.com, cultivatinghearts.org, or opendoormission.org. God bless.